folks.
Okay, we're ready to go.
I'd like to call in session the Streets and Sidewalks meeting of March 31st. Debbie, can you please call the roll?
Sure, Viverka?
Here.
Grindel?
Here.
Walchanowicz?
Here.
And we have one major issue that we're going to visit, that is Brookside Road, Middle Brookside, I call it, for the lack of a better term. So Don, you're up.
Okay, yeah, I just want to highlight the memo, as you know, what we showed you in the box that wasn't initially included, but it was asked, and it was the estimated construction cost. It's a significant number. The prior year's five-year capital plan number, when it was thinking that it was going to be a full-depth cold-in-place recycling rehabilitation project, was much more, much less costly. And that was around 1.5, I believe, our capital plan had at the time. So when the road really took a beating with the with Upper Brookside being constructed and being used as a direct route, it really suffered a little bit. So we just thought that the road was getting to be too far gone. And then of course the water main, we felt like if we're going to get in there and invest in that stretch of the road, we would do it right and expand the scope and get it done. It's consistent with what we've done in other neighborhoods when we're going to make a major investment in capital upgrades. So the intent of this job, as you see there in the yellow highlight, was road reconstruction with curbs. Undetermined at this point whether it was asphalt with concrete curb and gutters or full depth concrete, full width, much like you've seen in the upper section. New storm sewer system, because right now it's open ditches and old antiquated system. New water main with hydrants and water service connections. That's pretty standard when we do water main replacements. And then of course new drive aprons and sidewalks. That kind of goes part and parcel with the road reconstruction. There's one sidewalk on the north side now, but you could tell that it was kind of shoehorned in over the years, and there's all kinds of ups and downs and grade breaks through the driveway, so it's tired and it's in need of replacement. And then when we do reconstruction projects, we look to put sidewalks on both sides, so the thought was that we could potentially include a sidewalk on the south side as well, where there's never been one. And but that, of course, is predicated on design and feasibility of any particular challenges, like stream crossings, anything that may come up during the detailed design. So kind of tree plantings, of course, as we get out of these projects, we try to do some nice streetscape upgrades. So that was that's generally the scope of the project, and we engaged GPD, was selected, most qualified, and they put together a scope and a fee, and so that everyone was aware. We are well aware of this. These are just slides about the water, but I want to just pass over to the pavement and there was one drainage alternate in Jim Pidio and Great Sarley's properties that we are aware of, and we take bids. We thought that we could potentially incorporate that little alternate into this major scope, since it's right there. We're going right across the frontage, and see how we just felt if we're putting thousands of feet of pipe in, maybe we could do a lot better on unit pricing. So just for what it's worth.
He's been really outspoken.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Is that how you act?
And then there was another issue we've been made aware of, is the Rico property. There's Jim Kroger's property is right across the street over here, and there's a stream that comes through, takes a hard 90, and it's dangerously close to the property line and the foundation of this house. And we've had repeated requests for us to come out and provide some guidance and assistance. And here again, since we're in the neighborhood with a major effort, we thought we would consider looking at it without any discussion or thought or whether or not we would partner, or whether the homeowners would participate. It was really just something we thought we would have GPD provide some scope dollars to, if we wanted to consider it as part of the design with some additional work. It was quite costly because it's a stream, impact to a stream, and just to do some engineering work and Army Corps permitting, it was a significant cost, and that's before you even make one shovel worth of improvement. So
does that affect more than one resident there, or does it affect a few others?
Pretty much two properties.
Two properties.
Yeah, because the work you'd have to do would be on, would split the property line, and it would impact both. Most of the work would impact this property, but actually where the erosion's occurring really affects more this property.
Yeah.
Now, Rico property is the one where your arrow is?
They own both properties, actually. I think one's a rental, one is the one they initially resided in and continue to reside.
Question I have is, when you showed us the first, was that just the engineering fee that 40?
Yeah, that was strictly for.
That wasn't even the work?
Because it's the stream, it's expensive. And so that's in the scope, how they put it together in their scope was if authorized fees, meaning that, yeah, it was something we could consider.
Well, at least I appreciate the fact that you're taking a comprehensive.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying.
This is good, but I mean, realistically, at some point, we're going to have to be realistic about all this.
Right, I mean, it's one thing residents ask for guidance and help, but, and even when they're asked to participate financially, until they know what they're looking at, they don't really realize sometimes the extent of what would be involved and what the cost of a project might be, so.
Well, this is good that we have facts now to back up that portion of a proposal. So you're talking between these two are just $100,000, just in engineering.
Well, this one were $50,000 alone. I think the engineering on the storm sewer, because.
What was the other one that I just saw, the earlier one? I thought that was $40,000.
We have $451,000 for this, right?
Yeah, go back to the other one, Don, if you don't mind, please. What was the one that's there?
Oh, that was, so this was, now this was actual construction cost. We do schematic designs in our alternate bids, and basically the exhibit you see there is basically the design. We do that in-house. It's very low cost. That was the alternate bid of, well, we just opened bids yesterday.
Creek maintenance.
So that's physical construction.
Thank you for clarifying.
Is that Pidio's property?
It's Sarley's primarily. It's adjacent.
$50,000.
Immediately adjacent.
Pidio's property is which?
To the east, to the right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, right, all the work is done on Sarley's narrow flag portion, and then.
So there goes Pidio, Sarley, and then Mark Bassett.
Right, so.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what.
$50,000.
At least in this, but we thought maybe in a bigger $5 million project, it might come down some, because it's going to get lost in all the other footages of pipes and catch basin structures.
Don, is that the approximate cost then for this project for Brookside would be about $5 million?
Yeah, that's what we initially estimated based on some recent unit pricing, and that was really before, you know, the inflation issue. But we, you know, it was conservative, so we, when GPD looked at it, they thought four, low fours, and then when I looked at it, I was hedging towards the higher end, towards $5 million. And now with maybe with inflation, it might be pushing the higher, the $5 million. And that's construction.
So that's plus the $500,000 for.
Right, $450 more is separate, that's correct. And then you could probably estimate another $450 for construction inspections, typically 10%. 8-10%.
We're looking at excess of $6 million.
So we're $6 million.
That's correct, could be correct. So, again, significant hit if we intended to sneak it in all in one year, when it was really only showing, I think, 1.5.
Yeah, that's what I think the challenge for council is several challenges. One is, everybody wants to do it. The problem is, you don't want to over-promise and under-deliver, and right now, like we're going to talk about in a half hour, is everything's in pencil.
Yeah.
Because we're just not in a position to say, you know, let's do this, do this, do this. And now this one comes along and we, and absolutely, I agree with the thoroughness of your analysis, because the utilities, the upgrades, the years of service on these utilities that we have in it, demands that we upgrade them. The problem is, if you go from $1.5 million to $6 million, I'm not sure how we accomplish that this year or next year, especially if we don't know what's going to happen with our, that's council's decision. But as far as I'm concerned, I really appreciate the fact that you did the I'd rather do it, be thorough, and then have look at our options. But realistically, do you really see this being part of the queue this year?
It's a lot to ask. One job, and it's a lot to absorb in one year, not even a year.
we have to set money aside maybe for, although when prices are going up, you set money aside, you're still, you're kicking it down the can, the prices are still going up too.
We have two challenges, we have the current costs, and we have the instability or uncertainty. I just left the mayor's meeting this morning, and it was, it's one of the biggest challenges we face. Decisions being made in Columbus that are impacting these communities.
Yeah.
In a variety of ways, and they don't think, I think the best statement was, you know, they get revved up, just like the pension situation with respect to the safety forces. They get a couple of people that, you know, charge the hill, and in this case, you had fire pension people and they had the police pension people that revved this thing up, threw it to the legislature, and then it gets all this momentum because excited, but really it was mismanaged. OPRs disciplined themselves and they really bit the bullet hard and rechanged things, and you know, made a lot of people upset, but the bottom line is they're more solvent. Police and fire didn't do that. And now all of a sudden their recourse is let's raise it to the municipalities. Bert, by the way, your analysis was much appreciated, as your thoroughness was an example of to other mayors to get their stuff done and present like we did it. Both the 3%, they were saying 2%, 2.5% or 3%, and then what's the total?
Well, wait a second, I'm gonna walk over that period.
So when you take, so they appreciated the way our format and the way we presented, because they're trying to go back to the legislature and say, this is the impact on these communities, and the fact that you believe in Columbus that these ARPA funds are going to be the umbrella of savings for all these communities is absolutely short-sighted. It's immature, their analysis and their decision making, because you can't as from a city council standpoint, how are you supposed to look at money and be realistic about it when they've changed the rules in Columbus and they've now they're trying to further burden us in so many different areas. So I just meant to take this full circle in that the uncertainty of where we're at that harnesses us. So the only thing I can suggest is when we prioritize all these different projects, then council's going to have to decide where they want to put a stake in the ground. And this presents some challenges. But I do appreciate that, I think, from a legislative standpoint, and Ms. Richter, the thoroughness of this discussion is what's important.
Because we still have, I mean, Longano and Cleaver that we promised those people a long time too, which we have to prioritize. I mean, that, and now we're, you know, Brexville Road north of Rockside.
Yeah.
And, and then we'll still have Brexville Road south of Rockside, you know, to the southern border. So there's a lot of,
and historically we do tend to drag, we stretch those budgetary values over the course of a number of years to lessen the blow in any one given year. And yeah, if we do that, we probably definitely will need to, as you see, the road is in pretty tough condition, so we may need to spend some money with our asphalt maintenance program to get some worst areas paved.
We've given the service director the latitude to proved to us that an equipment to do some more sophisticated patching.
Yeah, there's some definite worst areas. There's a couple areas that are really bad.
Especially right now with all the freezing thaw and everything. Oh, really, it's a tough dynamic we're dealing with.
The water main piece of this is how much?
Well, we don't have it broken out into.
No, but I mean ballpark me.
Well, every time we were adding storm sewers, you know, it's like $1.5 million every component of work we kept throwing in, from when it was just a rehabilitation at 1.5 to a water main looking at another $1.5 million, storm sewer systems, $1.5 million. Pretty soon you're up to and the reconstruction is expensive. The removal and replacement of the road itself and the lowering of the profile, it gets expensive.
And that's what we did on East Brookside, right, down to Bramley.
Well,
reconstruction there.
Yeah, that was a resurfacing with the water main.
Oh, I see.
Bramley, the Bramley Brookside Bramley.
Yeah.
The Bramley portion was all completely.
So this is even more intense or more.
It's
involved.
Equal to that. It's equal. It's like consistent with the upper Brookside sections that we've done. But there we didn't do the water main. because it's newer. It had already been replaced. So this would be a top.
Is this curb and gutter? Or is this curved, or is this, tell me how your, what the vision is for this?
There were basically two options generally, is to make it match consistent with Eastview and Midland Highland, where it's concrete curb and gutters with asphalt pavement. That's one option. The other option is what we've done in the upper two sections, which is full depth, full width, concrete pavement, 8 inches thick with curbs, be it vertical stand-up curbs or roll curbs.
Would you just isolate some areas for the vertical curb and still go with the roll curb? Because this is tied into the, you're tying this into the tree lawns.
Right, we could do roll curb on every, all of it.
Unlike the north, unlike the furthest west portion from Eastview West.
Right.
Because in that area, we had specific dynamics we were dealing with that a little more severe in terms of grade and management.
And narrow tree lawns, that was the other one. Narrow tree lawns where people, pedestrians were close to the street, and a nice vertical curb could be a, was more of a barrier, protective safety issue versus, this is more flatter terrain and.
It's easier to accommodate.
And there's more wider tree lawn depth, where those sidewalks are, you got some space.
Right.
And some more traditional.
Are there any easements that would have to be acquired here?
We didn't anticipate that. We do have a scope, or like, it would have to be revisited if, so GPD currently doesn't have any easement work in it, because we felt like we could fit everything in the right of way.
What's the right of way here?
It's 60, it's 60, yeah.
60, okay.
It's very wide. That sidewalk on the north side is within a foot of the right of way. So that's already at the right location, it's consistent with a.
And there's no major, I can't recall any major elevations. When you drop down in those ditches, then drop down in those, it becomes a little more challenging, but.
Yeah, there are some areas that are challenged with some of the road, on one side is low, on the side's high, and so we'll have to fine tune that on a design process, yeah.
And so the scope of work is you go and do your water line first?
Traditionally, yeah, you start with the deepest sewer or the deepest utility.
So you do sewer and water line at the same time?
Close together, right.
Get those, what about the lateral water storms? Will those be replaced, those big, the major storm areas? Or are they, what's their condition?
Yeah, those are good. The pipe crossings themselves, there's like three major crossings, or hard reinforced concrete pipes, where those are actually like waterways.
And are they big enough?
Yeah, oh yeah, we've never had, I don't believe, any major flooding in those areas. Those pipes are pretty well sized.
So we don't have to widen them, change them, those are pretty, that's major, and that's done.
It was part of their scope to inspect.
Yeah.
Those pipes to verify and confirm, but our initial thought was that we don't believe that we have any major work there. We would just tie from there and extend local sewers up and down the street to outfall into those sewer systems, those sewer pipe culvert crossings.
And taking that water in a controlled fashion, you don't see it being a burden for the, for those crossings?
No, I mean, the water kind of gets there, you know, pretty quick now, but yeah, for sure with curb pavements and inlets, it could, we might have to look at the outfalls, outlets of the pipes, culverts, and maybe treat those with some riprap and make sure that erosion is, addressed, because it could get there quicker with a higher velocity.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with some of the grade element changes there.
Right.
You know, a guy yesterday told me, a sewer guy, he said they were putting in a, they replaced a sewer plant with a, they had a lateral bore, a 40 degree angle. And he said down at the bottom where they had a tie, get rid of this sewer plant, but they replaced it with, went right to a park, right to the Metro Park. So it didn't disturb anything, but when they got down the bottom, water pressure, when it got to the bottom catch basin, they had to build this infrastructure barrier that it hit, it would hit and then deflect off, so slowed it down, but it was coming at such a velocity going down that grade.
Mm-hmm.
I found that fascinating, that you forget about how much momentum it gets when you're going downhill.
Right.
So.
A lot of times there's steps designed into a storm sewer system to help diffuse the energy and make it go vertical and slow down, and before it goes to the next run, it's a pretty standard practice. But yeah, the outfalls have to be, be careful. You don't create new problems when you try to improve a situation.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I have a question. I don't know the answer. So I don't know. I'm confused on the water line part. Like, how come the city has to pay for water mains? When maybe you can explain why that's not like part of like a cost for the water department, and why is it a cost for the city?
Uh,
to replace water mains?
Yeah, that's a good question. We answer it often.
I'm just now on streets and sidewalks, so I'm learning a whole lot more, so.
My understanding is that there's a franchise agreement back in the day. It's an old agreement that the city Cleveland operates the system, and they provide and supply the water in our pipes, but that the pipe network, the local distribution mains, local mains, 8-inch diameters and up to 12, I believe, are locally owned assets, the pipes themselves. But we have no control over it, really. They tell us what to do and dictate how to do it, but they will not pay to replace the pipes. They'll come out and fix them.
Make a note to make sure, you know, what Greg O'Brien about the franchise agreement.
Water service agreement, maybe that's another name.
Whatever the service agreement is with the water department, so that we can analyze that. Only I say that because now there's all this county, state, at least from today's meeting, and available. And if Cleveland's involved and they manage the water department, there may be an opportunity to tie one of those grants into a water line that if we're creative enough, maybe it'll qualify. So if we understand the agreement, and then we understand the source of monies, we have a water line. This water line could be quickly, I would not be objected to, if we can get some funding or partial funding, to put the water line in.
As standalone project?
Yeah.
Ahead of a reconstruction?
Yeah, if you get some money, what that does is kind of like forces a timetable, too.
Right, and that's the thing in the past that was the problem for Lower Brookside, is the fact that just trying to get the water department in, it took them forever to get started. You know, we had signs up, it was a couple months before they even got started, and in that case, they needed a secondary line. Now, would our line be in the same spot? Because the line on Brookside is into the pavement.
Right.
So would they be putting it, like, on the north side? Would they have to tear up the pavement anymore to put the line in?
Yeah, that's something we look hard at during the initial design, because the goal is to try to build parallel and offline while you maintain service in the existing. That's always the best way to go. It negates having to have a bypass. Because that's a whole another level of complexity and cost for a temporary system just for the duration of the job, and then you dismantle it. So you try to find, but there's rules and guidelines, EPA requirements, to be so many feet horizontally separated from storm sewers and sanitary sewers. But you sort of get boxed in pretty quick, and then that would force you to basically replace it in its current location, because that's always allowed. You can always replace where it's at.
Yeah, and there's something you could parallel it.
That's always a better option.
You could parallel it, but that would be the best option for the city.
For most, even the residents.
Yeah,
inconvenience,
no, disruption of service.
Disruption,
yeah.
Cost, for many good reasons. We try to do that. And only in that instance, if you were completely out of space, would you potentially have to go and get water main easements if you couldn't fit it in that right away.
Yeah.
My next question would be, just because I have several residents I got to call back after today, saying, just want to know, where are we going to go from here?
Yeah.
You know, like time frames on, like, when are we going to start getting gas line stuff cleaned up? When are we going to start getting some normalcy back on their street? So.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this is an appropriate question. What's the time to, how are they doing with the gas line?
They're doing good. They're working right now in Kingscote and Brecksville Road to replace sidewalks, and behind that will be the restoration. So they're working their way over to Brookside. They'll go up Brookside, kind of do the similar. They just finished the long service connections on Brookside. So that's about this. So all the homes should now be transferred to the new gas mains.
Do we have influence in terms of what they have to replace and what they have to do in terms of sidewalks, curbing, any type of landscaping?
Yes, I'm having a meeting tomorrow to do a walkthrough. We spot all the sidewalks, and because not only do they remove some, but they damage others,
right
immediately adjacent. So we kind of take a walkthrough and determine the limits of complete replacement, because it's oftentimes expanded more than what they just removed. So they haven't had too many road openings, but for on Brookside, where they've had to cut open the road to locate the water main. So those are getting patched in, with concrete pavement.
Yeah, they're probably pretty close to done with the concrete, because they
in the roadway.
Them,
right.
In the road.
In the roadway, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're close to being in the restoration mode, which should catch the spring growing season, so I think timing-wise, it seems like it's hitting it at the right time.
Yeah, by all means, let's make sure that we're comprehensive in our review, because you only get one shot at these guys, and we gotta get them while it's ripe to make sure that they're responsible for all those areas that they disrupted or they affected. And then, obviously, the landscaping and drainage that they disrupted or affected needs to be managed appropriately too at that time.
Yeah, we just got a couple complaints from some irrigation damage that they came across Kings Cove, so they know they need to fix all that stuff, so they're gonna be reaching out to the residents and contacting them directly.
Okay.
To make those repairs.
So we're looking at patchwork, we're not looking at grinding and then just retopping it until the bigger picture's happening?
Yeah, as far as work goes, the holes that they've repaired was pretty much all that was required of them, thinking that because we're coming through not too many years behind them to do a complete reconstruction, it needed to be adequate enough to get us through, but full-blown resurfacings or anything like that wasn't any part of the issue.
But I understand, I think I heard you say that they're just gonna patch it up so that we could come into our road project. But for the road project, they would have to do a better job.
On any replacements?
So make them do it. Make them replace it, because we're not sure when this is gonna get done. So I don't wanna be sitting here like Brecksville Road where, you know, we've got that concrete exposed for years and all of a sudden it's residential street, just fix it up, do a nice job, and then what we do in the future, we do. We don't pay for that, that's their responsibility, correct?
Right. So in concert with this future project, we asked that they lower the gas service connections on the long side, because when we lower profile of the road, everything drops and we're making excavation cuts pretty deep, and we didn't want to be ripping through gas services that were brand new. So they deepened up the mains, they took on extra cost.
Yeah, but that's their responsibility.
Well, and ultimately it helps everybody, because our contractors can get delayed, and their contractor.
Yeah, that's just smart planning.
Oh yeah, and they did it for us, and we tried to cooperate.
Well, they did it for themselves too.
For sure, not minimizing brand new stuff being impacted.
Sure.
Within a year or two or a few later.
I would encourage, but it's a committee call, but I'd encourage that they go back and they fix it up nice, rather than.
Well, that was the other question related to the sidewalks. You know, I mean, they've got a square, two squares. Is there a way to, while they're there, is to have them pour more segments, and that way we won't have as much to do on the north side?
Well, that's all I'm gonna get for now.
It's in tough condition, yeah.
I think I agree with the chairman. I don't want them coming and taking a pad, taking one spot, leaving two, taking care of one, rip it up, do the whole thing. If it's piecemeal, one slab, keep two, take out two, replace three, you know. It's just, from our perspective, the perception is they're cleaning it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure it's a big deal to, it costs more just to patch piecemeal and cut them, doesn't it, than it does to just go in there and.
Yes. You know, one of the other things, like, you know, a lot of the people that I've spoken to is, you know, they're using Midland now because they don't want to go to Brookside 21 anymore. So, you know, how much wear and tear are we going to put on Midland and Highland now because anyone's cutting through there?
They'll cut through until they get that done, until
right.
Disruption of service.
Yeah, a lot of people cut through Midland anyway because that's a much quicker way when they're jumping on the highway. So everybody from Lake Charles, everybody from Eastview and all those areas there, they come down, they cut through typically. Not that much traffic actually comes down Brookside unless people are coming down because they got to go south.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, there'd be more wear and tear, but that's why we did that. Made it nice and solid last year. That's why we skipped Brookside then. We pushed all of ranch land ahead of Brookside because didn't want to try to redo Brookside then and then tear it up while they were doing the work in ranch land and in the highlands. So I guess based on what you're saying and what I'm thinking, obviously we need to push through the water main to get that done. Does that not make sense?
It's not in a critical condition in terms of, it's, you know, couldn't water, it's funny how they rate certain things. They'll tell you that this main is in fair condition because it's not as bad as some of the ones that they deal with. So, but it's, I think it was built in the 30s. In fact, one of the slides says that it was built in the 30s, so it's already pushing, you know. But it's not labeled in red as their maps that are, the mains that are in critical condition.
That includes that part that's under 77 that.
Yeah, that's just had all the problems recently, yeah, it does include that part.
So it's not, obviously it's not as bad as the section going down Brookside.
No, it was not, that was very severely degraded. So I don't know that Cleveland Water would give us a, you know, push, but it is old, and no question about it. We typically say 50 years is the service life of a major utility, well, we're well beyond that. But we've got some that are 100, you know, pushing 100 on Brexville Road, so.
Well, unless you're gonna do a mill and fill on it, then, I mean, a mill and fill is less cost, but then how long are you gonna have to replace the water main anyway?
Yeah, it's just a matter of time, right, that's why we thought if we're gonna invest now, you know, probably we would catch it.
Because you did core samples earlier on, and, you know, how did it score?
I mean, there's a good amount of asphalt there, but it's fatigued, it's old. And then with the construction, the freezer thaw, it was a tough winter. And there's areas that have failed, you know, their layout failed, and they need to be, so the thought was that, you know, when more of it has failed than is salvageable, it's time to replace it and catch everything at the same time and upgrade the water mains, storm sewers. This is old ditch culverts, and it's, you know, it's time to upgrade it to what we've done up the hill, so.
Now, Eastview is what, is that about 25 years now? That's been, had to be in the 1990s, I would think, that we did Eastview. It was before I got on in 2000. I think it was when you were still mayor before Fred. So that's getting to be pretty heated.
I moved up there on Eastview in '07, and it was newer. So it had been done before I got there.
It's probably about 10 years.
Yeah, probably. It still looked nice, but, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is ready to be resurfaced for sure, it's in our plan.
So that.
Don, can you give an estimate based on some of our bids with the mill and fill?
Which, any, oh, any street, yeah, we can do that.
Just so that we have a full breadth of our options, because going from $1.5 million to $6 million is challenging, especially with this climate.
Yeah, this certainly is this climate.
So, the committee's gonna have to give direction to this issue, but I'm challenged to be able to commit to that kind of money when we don't know where it's going to land this year, next year, 2024. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball like that.
Well, and the other question that might come to play is upper Brookside and other upper Brookside and the new portion of lower Brookside did get sidewalks on one side. Can we have some savings? Because it's a county road. It's not an independence road based on the study that they did. I mean, it's a county road. Does that make a difference?
I think isn't Brookside all in independence? Mm-hmm. It starts down at Pleasant Valley.
Mm-hmm.
It goes up to Sprague, but I think it's all independence.
It is.
But it's a county road. It has a number still.
Oh. I don't know if they don't participate in anything, though. But,
no.
But. No, but I'm just saying, in that case, it's harder to make a case that it's like, it's not Breton, which is, we did sidewalks on both sides because it's a, you know, it's a independence road, whereas this is a county road, and the other portions we've done already, we haven't done sidewalks on both sides. So can we save the bucks on the south side sidewalk? I guess I'm throwing that.
But you tell your neighbors that.
And who wants it? And yells at it.
I mean, there's a logical transition point from Eastview or what is our stop signs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once you get going on Brookside, I guess they could cross over, but if you live on the south side and you're a child, you're gonna have to cross the street in traffic relative, except for instead of a cross intersection.
Yeah.
So
it's true. The culvert on the south side where Rico's is, I don't think that comes out very far. That would, you'd have to extend that if you did sidewalk there, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know, if it's further than you think.
Think it's close?
It's back in those trees, so it's a little bit further back. But I don't know, I don't know where it falls in relation to the right of way and how a sidewalk, but that's always a concern. Design constraint, and during the design, we would look at all those things.
And the only other place is under the northern sidewalk is really close going under 77. And I gotta believe it's, it would be the similar thing. And that, then that piece of sidewalk takes you where to that drainage area is. Remember, we shifted Brookside west because of that drainage area next to 77. So will that sidewalk be able to connect?
It would probably have to cross.
It would have to cross somewhere anyway.
Yeah, get to the westerly side, where the sidewalk is. Yeah, if we put one on the south side of Brookside.
Mr. Chairman, the question I have, I guess, really for council is to decide, do we invest, tell me the benefits, John, from my satisfaction, the benefits of investing $500,000 today in these plans, knowing that the project will be deterred for several years possibly at a minimum from actual construction, having gone from $1.5 million to $6 million.
Right.
Help me, or help everyone in this room make an intelligent decision that, tell me the benefit of spending $500,000 now. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I guess I am.
Yeah, I mean, other than just to, you know, it comes up on occasion routinely where, you know, things being shovel ready. Well, it's tough to get shovel ready unless you go through and do some, especially on a job of this size. So that would be one benefit. Also, take the lead time to get anything through Cleveland Water is challenging. So getting out in front of it, a number of years where you're not up against a time constraint where it amplifies, it puts pressure, undue pressure. If you got contractors lined up and they don't have the permits or approvals from Cleveland Water. So there may be a secondary benefit to get out in front of a job. And to timing to get grants in place to connect those sources with the elements of a project. And that, I think you score better on a project application when it's a real tangible project that's fully designed and ready to bid per se, as opposed to projects that are just on paper and haven't had much of an investment of the local community.
So you're saying if council approves this legislation to do the engineering, it gives us more definitiveness in terms of some of the issues in the field.
Right.
It gives us the ability to maybe get some grant money, or if there is some money available to offset some of the costs, like some of the state projects. If it's shovel ready, you're saying that we'd be more receptive.
And more eligible, yeah.
And I guess my last question, it's one clarification from the water department's perspective. If we do this, does that put us in the queue in terms of the water department so that whenever we would do it, we're all ready, or does that start the ball rolling all over for them? Does the ball start when we have plans ready, or does the ball start when we start for construction with the water department? Is there time savings, is my question.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a time savings. You got to go through the process and struggle through it regardless. But I think...
Would that be something under the scope of GPD?
Well, yeah, when they do design, they make submittals to Cleveland Water in the hope of getting comments returned, and so that the comments can be addressed into the final plans. And then when that final plans are out to bid, we've got a permit from Cleveland Water to install it, and the EPA.
Okay, so this would be all part of that process.
Gets all that kind of worked through and queued up ideally.
Yeah.
To the point where a contractor could then go down there and pay a permit to make it a real thing and be inspected by Cleveland Water forces during construction. Yeah.
And is there anybody other outside elements that we have to deal with? Water department, is there the EPA, anybody else?
I mean, depending on it, the Army Corps was that issue with the creek stabilization. That would bring in Army Corps review and approval, and that was part of that $50,000.
We're not obligating ourselves to that, are we?
No, absolutely not. No, that was just an if come see.
Because we've got a couple, for those that weren't here earlier, a couple different elements that Don exposed to us were, it's $50,000 here, $50,000 there, $50,000 in the benefits, the cost benefit analysis would have to be part of an overall strategy, but you're saying you're just exposing every element that you could think of. And then would they come back periodically, if it's approved by council, would they come back periodically to committee and then share with us where they're at so that we'd be in sync with them if something, if we hit the lottery or had the money available?
Mayor, when you say they, you mean GPD?
I mean, GPD. GPD.
Oh, GPD. Oh, yeah, I'm sure they would be happy to update us and show us where they're at, and as we develop the scope further, because we'll need to dictate and drive the overall scope. They put these menu prices for certain things if authorized.
So what's the timetable on their work?
Well, thinking early on when I wrote this scope, that it was, we were being aggressive, we needed to get this done next year. The hope was that they could design it all of 2022 to put us in the best position to potentially bid it late this year, December, January into the winter, and be able to come out, award a contract early in 23. That was always aggressive and optimistic,
yeah.
But that was always the thought, that get out early in the spring, survey it, get the design done.
Is there additional cost on our part due to this because of the aggressive nature of it, or was it?
I don't think so.
I don't want to be like some of these jobs where the jobs, construction job is delayed because of weather, because of else, these inspection fees keep going. So I want to be more efficient in terms of the engineering. If that makes sense, what I'm trying to convey.
Yeah, I don't, if your question is, did they raise their prices because it was an aggressive design? Right. I don't believe so.
Okay.
I think it was within their, they've operated under those sort of parameters before.
What I don't want to do is spend $500,000 and then find out the job's $303 million, and we spent, you know, 20% or 18% for plans that, when the normal,
oh, I see.
Normal is 8%, 7, 8, 9, right?
Right, yeah, I would say, yeah, in that range, 7 to 10, right, depending on the complexity of the job.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So how do we, the last question is, would be, how do we make sure that we're keeping this, keeping the expenditures tight and accomplishing what we want to accomplish? Question mark.
Yeah, I think given the scope that they were told what the job needed to entail, And I told them early on that I needed to be able to answer the question, hey, how much is this going to cost? I asked them to, and I had already kind of worked my numbers based on some of our history of recent jobs, and I didn't tell them what I had come up with, and I asked them to give me a fair assessment, you know, because they're municipal engineers from many communities. They're very familiar with this work. So they were in the four, you know, low fours, and I think we're, so with the 451,000.
Okay. So that makes, now I understand.
And keep in mind, the 450 includes the 75,000. There was 25,000 contingency,
yeah.
And then the 50. So there's like 75,000 in there that's really not spoken for. That if you took that off the top, you could still get this job done for the intent.
And so once we have this plan, if there, we get into construction and there's a conflict of what they designed and what we have, they have E&O insurance to cover us, right?
Oh yeah, errors and omissions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was just thinking, where did the engineering stand like for Longano and Cleaver? Because we promised those people for years or decades, you know, that job would be done, would have been done by now. I mean, I hate to see that pushed down. I mean, we pushed it down far enough, and they're usually, you know, that's actually, we've made some great improvement in Roxette Wood North, and we're going to the bridge now. I'd like to see that taken care of too. I mean,
probably advise us to talk about it.
Yeah, but I mean, if we're going to spend engineering money, I'd like to spend on some projects that can get done maybe more in the near future too. Then,
Katz is at Longano right now. What are they doing, Don?
We have a storm sewer problem with residential property near Longano that we thought that we did some televising of the main, and there's some problems on the main. So we were digging it up to break into the main and see what the problem is. So flooding, based on flooding issue there.
So the bottom line is council has a lot of areas to look at and prioritize, you know, where you put our emphasis and our money and to get done. I mean,
I'm not sure council has to make a decision right
now. No, but we need the information so we can.
Let's go look at the whole picture and then we can start to.
Yeah.
But I think I appreciate, Don, the comprehensiveness of this discussion and the answers. So I have a full understanding of what you're trying to accomplish. So thank you.
And I guess I missed the conversation, but why is the project being delayed now?
delayed?
Yeah, you've said a couple of years potentially.
Well, because, first of all, that the engineering, we were, really the conversation was about the engineering legislation that's on the books right now. I was gonna continue this legislation, and at least Don answered my question relative to the thoroughness of why we're doing this, so that was the.
And the scope of, she's gone from $1.5 million.
Oh, yeah.
To $6 million now.
Right, so it's $1.5 million to $6 million, so why is the question that came out.
Has domino effect.
What happened, how did we get to this point?
Well, we added the water line and the sidewalks.
Yeah.
Yeah, the scope increased and the costs go up, and, but the capital, the duration on the capital planning of the time duration to spread those costs out is really the problem, when, especially when we're struggling, challenging to find the money on all the other capital projects. So that's the combination of those items coming together the way they did.
$1.5 million for like a mill and fill, and then the $6 million, I assume is total reconstruction.
Yeah.
Water line.
So we would mill and fill in the interim, is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I thought we didn't, nobody made those decisions, it was just a, everything was on the table, you know, it's more of a discussion than it was decisions or direction.
Because it's in pretty rough shape, something needs to happen.
We're trying to see what, to what degree the Dominion's responsible.
So what, what I think I hear you saying is that we can not necessarily engineer to the maximum amount that is being proposed for engineering? You can clip some of that back?
I don't know if I heard that.
That's why I'm asking.
There's some if authorized portions of that fee, so out of the $451,000.
Yeah.
There's a chunk of money that are for these if authorized, in other words, if we choose to ask them to design it, it'll be this amount of money. So that if you took those out, you'd be looking at a smaller, it was in the 300s and something. Yeah, so it, the 450 is kind of the upset figure, if you wanted to capture some of these other things in the neighborhood, so. But the base bid for what the job originally was intended for would be in the high threes for design, the design fee.
And the engineering is not gonna change, the conditions in the field are static unless we change our scope. So whether we do the engineering now or delay it later, it's only gonna be more expensive later, I would imagine.
I don't know if anybody talked about delaying engineering, I think it was more of, can we be shovel ready with the engineering so that we'd be in a better position to see if there's grant money out there and expediting the process with the water department, is that?
Getting out in front yet, getting ample time to get through the process, review and approval process, Cleveland Water.
Vern, do we have infrastructure money that potentially could be available for any portion of this? Does that include engineering?
That's what we're just.
Well, that's gonna be, that's gonna be the next discussion. You might, at this point, it might be appropriate to, let's get into the big discussion, since we, at least we define the parameters for this.
Well, Chairman, will we make a recommendation to put this back on the agenda for April?
Yeah, that's, that would be what I would suggest, you make that recommendation.
Well, I guess, I mean, the plans aren't like Anthony mentioned, they aren't gonna get any less expensive, and they have them ready, we'll be ready for when the opportunity arises, we can move this up, so I think, and they're ready to go, so I'll make the recommendation to put it back on the agenda.
Is there a second?
Yep, second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And I'm looking for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you, Don, for the.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Don.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.